Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by CatholicSingles.com is ringing in the new year with savings for singles. You can save 20% by using the promo code BREADBOX when you register for a new account. Come meet other faithful Catholics and make 2020 a year to remember.
Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo. So I proposed some time ago for the beginning of the year that we would switch seats for a fresh perspective. We've been sitting in the same seats for all the podcast, and you have turned me down.
I said no.
You said no. You want to stick with what we're doing.
Even though I've discussed change and flexibility so many times, you will not get me to change my seat.
I want to look at the other wall for a while. I'll keep working on that.
My annoyance is more like liturgical.
You have a deeper issue than mine.
Well, it is a beautiful feast that we're going to discuss today, the presentation of the Lord, which falls on a Sunday. And it's a beautiful Mass, don't get me wrong. But we are missing reading the gospel that would have fallen on the fourth Sunday in ordinary time, which is the Beatitudes. How can we skip the Beatitudes? And how are we going to make sense of the gospels that come after this one? Mm-hmm. So this is what's happening. Presentation of the Lord, beautiful Mass, beautiful gospel, February 2nd. But then we miss the Beatitudes. And this happened last time also. And at a time where we are speaking so much about discipleship, I think the Beatitudes, the Sermon in the Mount, the Sermon in the Plain in Luke, those are the basic texts to explain discipleship. I'm a little annoyed. I should write to the Holy Father.
Anyone can go into Matthew's Gospel and read. I encourage you to do that. Read the Beatitudes.
We'll have to do this.
Yeah.
Maybe we will print it and give it to people. a reminder that we've said this before. This used to be the traditional end of Christmas. Now it's more the baptism of the Lord, which is a transition feast. Some people say that Sunday would be the beginning of ordinary time. Some people say that that's the end of Christmas. But traditionally, it was the presentation of the Lord or Candle Mass.
Yeah.
And I don't know if in your church you do something with candles. We are this year.
We are doing something this coming weekend with candles. Yeah, blessing the candles.
So it's a long gospel. So
it's
maybe
a longer gospel, so maybe you should get into it. What am I going to read from?
So you're going to read Luke chapter 2, 22 to 40. And we don't read from Matthew precisely because it's a special feast. That's what's happening.
When the days were completed for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph took Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, just as it is written in the law of the Lord. Every male that opens the womb shall be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer the sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons in accordance with the dictate in the law of the Lord. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. This man was righteous and devout, awaiting the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he had seen the Christ of the Lord. He came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform the custom of the law in regard to him, he took him into his arms and blessed God, saying, "Now, Master, you may let your servant go in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the sight of all the peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and glory for your people Israel." The child's father and mother were amazed at what was said about him, and Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be contradicted, and you yourself a sword will pierce, so that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was advanced in years, having lived 7 years with her husband after her marriage, and then as a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day with fasting and prayer. And coming forward at that very time, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were awaiting the redemption of Jerusalem. When they had fulfilled all the prescriptions of the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. The child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him.
So no beatitudes. I should get...
Do you have anything to offer now?
I should move on from that. I mean, I should be able to... How do you say it in English? To
move on. Or
move on.
Let it go.
Let go. Let go.
Let it go.
And by the way, the last sentence, that's one great example that Old Testament is important because a Jewish person would immediately know that Samson is described the same way, like growing and...
Interesting.
Yeah, it's exactly the same. I checked once. It's the same wording.
Interesting.
Which is, it's interesting.
What I have noticed about this, kind of praying about this and looking at this a little bit this year once again, is it's the continued confirmation to Mary and Joseph about Jesus' identity and what they're called to. So remember, as you went through the late Advent and then the Christmas season, it's these moments where Joseph and Mary give what I would call like a little yes, like the best yes that they can, kind of their immediate yes, to connect to that word from last week, that immediate yes. But once they put their toe in the water of the pool and they say yes, it's amazing how in so many ways that decision then is confirmed and they're encouraged and moved along. And that happens now even with the child Jesus after he's born, just a confirmation here by Simeon and then by Anna that there's something special here. And it's just a reminder to us that when we give a yes to discipleship, the Lord can pull us along, but we've got to give our whole yes. And Joseph and Mary are pretty good examples of that.
So Joseph and Mary are, the gospel text insists that they are very obedient to the law. They do exactly what the law is asking them to do, to present the child. And they are presenting him at the temple, which is the institution that will ultimately execute Jesus. So
Right. That's,
when, and Jesus will be very critical of that law that is taking him to the temple today. So I think that's very significant and very interesting.
Right.
That Luke is the only one that pays so much attention to this episode.
You're right. Don't look past that at this point in the gospel, the significance of this event.
And very typical of the New Testament writers. We have Simeon and we have Anna. We have two different characters. Count how many times the Holy Spirit shows up in Simeon and how many times the Holy Spirit shows up in Anna's part of the text. Do a quick look and you will see the Spirit mentioned 5 or 6 times with Simeon, and I don't see the Holy Spirit in Anna. I'm not sure what's going on. When you look at it, Anna is speaking about this Jesus is the Christ and she recognizes him as such, but for the liberation of Jerusalem, whereas Simeon is the one speaking about the nations. From the very beginning in Luke's gospel, it is this idea of the universality of Christ, of Jesus, which Matthew will do with the Magi story, and Luke does here. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that's a really good observation. But just that broader point, though, of that's very common in the gospel writers and actually just in our faith in general pairs, which I think is just a really important lesson to say there's, you know, we're together on our journey of discipleship, but strengths and weaknesses and also different perspectives, you know, and that's all through the Gospels, of course. The beautiful last line, of course, of Simeon, it's part of the night prayer of the church for those who pray the Liturgy of the Hours, but just a really good prayer for all of us at the end of our day to say, I've met the Lord, now I can go in peace. That's Simeon is saying here, now I can die. I've been waiting, now I can die because I've met the Lord.
My eyes have seen your salvation. Isn't that beautiful?
Right. It's just a beautiful prayer, a beautiful sentiment here.
But then it says, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, beginning and glory for your people Israel. Yes.
Right.
Beginning with Jerusalem, with Israel, but for all the nations, for the Gentiles. That's Luke's gospel for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's a beautiful opportunity to do something. I have the theory. It's a contrasted truth that anytime you do something different liturgically, you run the risk of confusing everybody. But it's a day to do something about the lights, the candles. I think something needs to be done.
Tell me more about that. I sense the connection with candles in the presentation is a little bit more, it's not well known in American Catholic context.
Well, you can go to the Roman Missal and then there is an explanation of how you can do that with processions. one way to do it is to give candles to people and they process in with candles. Mm-hmm. Like you would do at the Easter Vigil, something similar to that. But that was the tradition, yeah.
Right.
There is a solemn entrance that you can do. It's easy to plan, and I think we can recover these candles that we used in the Easter Vigil and maybe use the same ones. You
right.
know, these typical candles with this piece of paper that we...
Exactly, yeah, a piece of plastic.
I think we should do something.
Right.
Precisely because it falls on a Sunday and it's an opportunity for people to experience some of the richness of the Catholic liturgical tradition that we normally miss because this would be a weekday mass normally.
Right. Well, a number of directions we can go here. What do you think you might preach about?
So I remember that the last time I preached on this gospel, I didn't do a good job because it's one of these times where you can feel that you had a good idea to communicate and it didn't go through.
Yeah.
Because of my lack of capacity to explain it. It's this beautiful sentence in the gospel where it says, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rise of men in Israel." Mm. So that Jesus would be a sign of contradiction. That was the title of the homily. And that didn't work out well. And I would like a second chance. A sign of contradiction, what does that mean? What could that mean for us? And Jesus is a sign of contradiction because he makes the powerful stumble and the poor to understand what he says. And there is a lot to unpack there. I think that I want to do this.
Yeah. I always go back to Simeon's prayer, just mm-hmm. because it's so beautiful, his words here. And I continue to think about our tendency as human beings to never be satisfied with the present, you know, always looking for a little bit more, always looking to the future, regretting the past. And Simeon has really a good expression here of, "I've met Jesus, now my life is complete." You know, is there a point where we say, this is what I need? I don't need to continue to be looking for more. And just to reflect on that a little bit.
It is a beautiful prayer. "For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you prepare in sight of all the peoples." Yeah.
Yeah, and then that universal nature of Jesus Christ that's already being communicated mm-hmm. here in different ways, I'd say, between Simeon and the prophetess Anna. Mm-hmm.
You don't agree with my negative view of the prophetess? Because the Holy Spirit doesn't show up there, whereas in Simeon appears four times. So that's something to look at.
Yeah, I've got to think more about it. I think you might be right. And I don't think it's negative. You're looking at the text. So, mm-hmm. We might have fresher ideas. I'm just suggesting if we had switched seats, as I had suggested.
And we may next time.
Maybe.
Let me think about it. I agree with you that sometimes we need that kind of little change that may be very fruitful.
About once a year, I find I need to significantly rearrange where I live in the rectory or the office. And other people have said the same thing, that, you know, it gives you fresh ideas. And am I right? I don't think I'm in the minority of that.
It's there is a whole philosophy about it. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But my room, for instance, I don't have lots of options. But maybe you could change the things that you have hanging in the walls also.
Sure.
I have some art that maybe I could move around or...
Yeah.
Yeah. Speaking of art, somebody gave me a drawing of myself. When we went to Bolivia, there was a picture that I'm holding a sheep. And then she drew it. And it's fantastic. But I'm not going to hang a picture of myself in my room. So I'm sending it to my mother.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yeah.
That's a perfect gift.
I will show it to you, yeah.
All right. Well, good. So how about we go on with our day and then we'll come together next week. It'll be the fifth Sunday in ordinary time next week.
Time moving on.
Correct. Yeah. So we'll get together next week.
And see you there, Philip.
Have a good day.
Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by... Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top-tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.